Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Jackson.
That would be really weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Jackson, right?
Yeah, the Jackson. After I got a text saying that I mispronounced, wasn't it? Hold on. I did it again. What was the name of the city we did the other day?
The I don't know. It was shocking you mispronounced that one. I remember what you're talking about.
It's Rena Laura, not Rena Lara.
Oh, Lord.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go
It doesn't matter how you pronounce it.
I'm going to go with one I know is right. So Jackson.
It would definitely be weird if Strange Brew ended up in Jackson. I'm not sure how many new businesses are coming into Jackson, but we won't go there.
Let's leave that alone. Wherever you are in our group.
I'm kind of upset at Shane.
What?
Okay. Well, you know, we saw him the other day, brightened my day when we saw him eating lunch the other day. Mm-hmm. He, you know, told us about this new ice cream that he'd come up with at Churn and Spoon.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sent us a picture last night of him eating this ice cream. And it made me angry because I didn't have any.
Wait, let's go get some.
Well, I'm in Ackerman, basically.
I mean, I'm just saying that some things are worth the drive.
I don't know if I could, I don't even know if it was open at the time that he sent that.
You have this Wednesday as we record. You have church this evening here in Starkville?
I do.
Well, then you know what to do on the way home.
Yeah, I mean, I probably will.
As you should.
I still don't see Thunder and Lightning on the billing either.
We're working on that. All right,
I mean, that changed.
We got to get a process. You just got to take your time. It'll be all right. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just a click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Whatever role you play in your business, you can communicate with our friend Cam Baker and let him know about it and talk to him about bringing Pip Printing and Signs on. Go to their website, pipridgeland.com, and get a clearer idea of everything that they can do. I would list off everything that we would do, but then GGJJKKHHDDSYTZP would complain about the length of the ad break because it's a long list. Look at this list. Can you see this list? You can't, but Robbie can. Look how long that list is.
To me, that's more reason to do it because I'm very petty.
You are. So that's why we don't let you do the ad break because you would just do that.
So, I would just filibuster for 30 minutes and say, okay, that's our show for today.
That's the show.
Just to make a point. Remember that time Kobe had like 20 assists in a game?
Yeah.
Because people said he wouldn't pass the ball?
Yeah, that's you. You're Kobe is what you're saying. Does that make me Shaq?
Sure.
All right, I can live with that.
The Big Diesel.
I can live with that. I want to be Dr. Haydad. Anyway. Call my friend Cam Baker today to get your business and Pip Printing and Signs on the same page. No pun intended. 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you certainly are looking for it. The season is upon us. It's time to get that new game day polo. If you haven't done it yet, now is the time. College Corner can help you with that. They've got all the great logos that you want, all the top quality polos. Right there, two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Robbie and I went last week, which means the clock is ticking, and I'm ready to get back to Restaurant Tyler, so we're going to make that happen very, very soon. And of course, with football season coming up, that means Restaurant Tyler is going to be one of the most popular destinations in all of Starkville. So make sure that you have got a table ready for you. This football season, the biggest win for you will be getting a meal at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you all of the locations that are near you. And if you live in Central Mississippi, there's got to be one nearby. But more importantly, they're going to show you everything Priority One Bank can help you with investments and money management. You did the hard work. You got the money to the bank. Let Priority One Bank help you from there, show you how to grow your money, how to invest, and how to benefit your family for years and years to come. 16 locations, that means there's one near you in Central Mississippi. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie was a little taken aback when I first described the topic that we're going to talk about today. I said, Robbie, today we're going to talk about Graham Mertz. He gave me the look of, you are literally an idiot. That's what he
did. I give that look.
That was the look I got. I didn't mean to give that look.
I might have thought that.
If I could shoot you through a computer, I would spill your brains on the pavement. I mean,
what?
It was really rough. I mean, really, really.
Oh, you're saying I said that?
You said that to me. That was the look that you gave.
I did not.
It was like, dear Lord, if you could just rapture him off this planet right now, I would really appreciate it. So,
well, that's a plus. I would love to be taken off this planet right now.
I'll be honest with you. There are some times I'm just like, you know, I'll take it. But that being said, what I want to talk about is this. Last year, to me, Graham Mertz was the biggest surprise in the SEC, a quarterback that had not been overly impressive at his previous stop at Wisconsin, came to Florida, and my thought process was, this is a bad fit, bad pickup, not going to be good. And look, yeah, wins and losses, Florida did not get where they wanted to be, but that was not due to Graham Mertz. He had an outstanding season for the Gators a year ago. And like I said, what to me was the biggest surprise in the SEC in 2023. Last year at Florida, in 11 games, threw for 2,900 yards on 73% completion, 20 touchdowns to 3 picks. I'll just go ahead and tell you right now that if Blake Shapen, and that's where we're going with this, can Blake Shapen be a Graham Mertz kind of impact? Can he be a player that's really under the radar, really nobody talking about him coming into the preseason? Maybe some people asking, is that a good fit for Mississippi State, the same way people were asking about Mertz in Florida? If Shapen wakes up at the end of the season and those are his numbers, Mississippi State will be a bowl team. I don't have any question in my mind. 20 touchdowns to 3 picks is outstanding. Completing 73% of your passes, fantastic. 8.1 yards per attempt, pretty good. Not out of this world, but still pretty good. Those are really, really good numbers. So that's my question to you, Robbie, is that do you think Blake Shapen can be maybe the biggest surprise in the SEC this year?
I think it can be a very big surprise in the SEC because literally no one is talking about it.
Yeah.
At this point. I mean, there might be a few people saying they're excited to see Jeff Lebby's offense, see what Blake Shapen can do. But if you look at all the conversation about quarterbacks, there's not a single one that includes Blake Shapen.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually some conversations that include Graham Mertz. Mm-hmm. If you listen to enough college football shows right now that talk about the SEC, they talk about Florida as a team that could be a surprise this year.
Mm-hmm.
You and I don't believe that. You and I believe that Florida is going to struggle, and not because they're not talented, and not really because, you know, we think Billy Napier is an awful coach or anything. I don't think that this fit is ultimately going to work for them, and I think their schedule is absolutely brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But Graham Mertz was one very bright spot for them last year in a season that was – still not up to their standards. I mean, they finished the year terribly. So I think that it's definitely a interesting, you know, comparison, a guy coming in from, you know, another Power 5 program and really seeing a jump. I mean, he took a pretty big jump from Wisconsin to Florida,
mm-hmm.
Different offensive schemes, of course, but you know, was extremely accurate last year. I thought just really managed the team well. And that's what you're hoping from Blake Shapen this year. You're hoping to have a guy, which I have full confidence in him being that, a guy that comes in, manages well, He hasn't been a player that's thrown a ton of interceptions or made a lot of mistakes during his career. He's just been a solid quarterback. Now you're putting him in an offense that really leans itself to bringing out the best in his quarterbacks. I think that that would not shock me in the least to see him making that kind of impact for Mississippi State. Can you get him to 3,000 yards this year, 25 touchdowns or something like that? That's a pretty tall task, but that gets Mississippi State bowl eligible, I think.
Mertz is interesting in that last year he threw 72 more attempts than he had ever thrown previously in a season. 358 attempts last year. His previous career high was 286. And yet he completed 73% when prior to that his completion percentage for his career was around 60. So somehow with more attempts, he became a more accurate passer. Now, I don't know if that's, you know, I'm not going to sit there and tell you I think it's because Billy Napier is an outstanding play caller and was giving him a lot of great opportunities. I think Mertz just made a big jump from a personal level. Obviously, he was surrounded by some talent. They had some good pieces last year at Florida. But I think that's the same case here at Mississippi State. I think between Kelly Akari, Kevin Coleman, the freshman, Craver, Burnside, maybe Harrell, I think Creed Whittemore is a solid piece. Sadu Triority is a solid piece. Devon Booth and I think Johnny Daniels can be guys who can help you in the passing game. I don't know about Pittman and Lee as much in the passing game, but Pittman, of course, did have that big touchdown catch against Arizona that won the game, so maybe so. He's got good pieces around him, too. I think State's offensive line is a plus. There's just no reason to think this might be the best case scenario. Maybe a few more picks. You know, I mean, if you throw 20 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, that's still a really good ratio. 20-3 is outstanding. That's just fantastic.
And yeah, honestly, just didn't make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, and honestly, that's very similar to Corral's numbers. His final year at Ole Miss. I mean, I believe it's really close. Yeah, 20-5. Touchdown to interception that year for Corral, you know, coming down from 14 the year before. So a big jump for Matt Corral. More yards, but 68% completion to Mertz's 73. I think if you're Mississippi State, you would take – I would prefer the 73% completion to the 3,300 yards. The yards will come. It's just if you're able to complete passes and move the chains, that's what State really needs out of Blake Shapen. If I said
it, yeah, I mean, if somebody showed you that he completed 73% of his passes, mm-hmm. you're going to jump to the conclusion that he's over 3,000 yards.
Yeah,
unless he was hurt. I mean,
yeah. If he plays a full season at 73% completion, he's going to be around 3,000 yards. There's just no way that he wouldn't be.
What do you expect out of him as far as running the football? Because if you look at what, you know, and this is going to be different than Graham Mertz because I don't remember him really taking off and running a whole lot last year.
62 carries for negative 75 yards. He did have 4 touchdowns, though. But, yeah, he was not a runner.
But if you look at what, you know, the quarterback has done for Jeff Lebby, they're going to be asked to run the football a little bit and – they're going to be asked to you tuck it up and take off if a play breaks down, things like that. And you know, I think Shapen has shown that before. But what are kind of your expectations? As I look at the stats for Matt Corral with Jeff Lebby, and he rushed for over 900 yards in 2 years in 23 games, averaged about a little over four yards a rush.
You're giving
15
him
touchdowns.
Not giving him enough credit, Robbie. He rushed for 1,100 yards in 2 years.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I mean, he's their leading rusher in 2020.
He had 621. He had 5 and 20. Yeah, you're right. So 1,000 yards.
1,000 yards in 2 years.
15 touchdowns.
He rushed for 506 and 614, the 2 years under Lebby. Dylan Gabriel, the last 2 years, rushed for 315 and 373. Interesting. I mean, just a coincidence here, obviously, but Corral rushed for 11 touchdowns his last year at Ole Miss. Gabriel rushed for 12 last year. At Oklahoma. So, yeah, my guess is those are red zone touchdowns where, you know, they spread the field and he's able to keep it on a read option or just, you know, scrambles and has an opening. I don't think those are as much designed long runs or anything like that, like you would have seen with Nick Fitzgerald or Dak Prescott or anything like that. Somewhere in that
both
area,
years, both years were the most that Dylan Gabriel's run in his entire right. career.
So that's where I am. I think if Chapin gives you 300 to 400 yards rushing, that's a really good number for him. If I can get 2,800 yards passing and 300 to 400 yards rushing out of him, I'm completely happy. I would imagine that the other four guys back there, Lee, Pittman, Booth, and Daniels, are going to combine for, you know, between 400 and 500 yards apiece. And, you know, that's because that's what this offense wants to do, right? They want to run the football. So if they're successful, those five guys, the QB plus your four running backs, I mean, it may only be three running backs. One of those guys might just be out of the rotation. It's tough to rotate four backs, but you want to be averaging, you know, 175, 180 yards a game on the ground and, you know, around 225 to 250 in the air. I think that's 420 yards per game. No pun intended there. If you're in that area, you're going to be fine. So, yeah, for me with Chapin, I mean, honestly, you're only talking about when you break things down and you're talking about 400 yards rushing, you're talking about 35 yards rushing a game. I don't think that's too much to ask. I think that's a reasonable number to expect from Blake Chapin.
You just want to be able to be mobile, and if the opportunity arises,
right,
you have the ability to run. You know, Mississippi State has not had that for the last 4 years, basically, outside of Mike Wright coming in.
Yeah.
They just have not
They didn't have the ability to pass, so it didn't really matter.
And at times didn't have the ability to run with him. I mean, it was like there were times you're like, has this guy run the football before? It was kind of strange. So it's really going to be interesting to see how this unfolds for State this year as far as, you know, what the quarterback does, what the offense looks like, because everywhere that Jeff Lebby has been, this has been a very fluid offense. It's had very few ball games where you look up and they're struggling to score or struggling to move the football. You know, State has not had that very often. So I'm really interested to see how it plays out, you know, with the curse of Mississippi State kind of having a boring offense. Is it real? We'll find out because they've had guys that have done some great things offensively, and they've come in here and the offense has just kind of been bland, or they haven't been able to move it at times. You know, we heard all these great things about Joe Moorhead, and, you know, turns out that was just, I'm guessing, just a Saquon Barkley thing, because it didn't. We never saw what we saw at Penn State. I want to see what I saw at Central Florida and Ole Miss and Oklahoma. I want to see that on the field at Mississippi State. That would be nice.
It's so funny to think about, but this is a true statement. If State wins six games, but it's because they're a lot better defensively than we think they're going to be, and then offensively they're just 25, 26 points per game, it's going to be crushing.
Yeah.
They just cannot, for whatever reason, do it. And at that point,
I think what you want is you want to look up and say, all right, we won five games this year, but it wasn't because of the offense. This offense looks awesome. Mm-hmm. We just got to figure the defense out.
Right.
Because you can go hire someone that can change your program on defense if this doesn't work.
Right.
You can go out there and find a defensive coordinator that can come in and handle that side of the ball.
Right.
If Coleman Hutzler can't do it, and a guy that's going to recruit
change
on
the
that
offense,
side. If Jeff Lebby can't get the offense going here as a head coach, it's not going to get much better unless the players. And I refuse to believe that these players can't get something going this year in year one.
So it's an interesting thought process there with Chapin versus Mertz. You know, there's going to be a player like that in the conference, a guy that nobody's really talking about this year and comes out of nowhere. And when you look at the quarterbacks, I mean, obviously people are talking about Beck and Ewers and Dart. People are talking about Nico Imamabalava at Tennessee. I believe I pronounced that correctly.
Yes, that sounds great.
Yeah, people are talking about Brady Cook. You know, Brady Cook maybe a little underrated. But people talk about him, and people know who he is. And if he has a big year, no one's taken by surprise. I think people are expecting big things from Nussmeier down at LSU. I don't know that he's going to be able to replicate what Jaden Daniels did, but they expect him to be very good down there. So I guess, like, your candidates for this, if Taven Green were really good at Arkansas, that would be one. Brock Vandergriff at Kentucky, but, I mean, that's a guy who was a former highly recruited guy. He just got beat out by Carson Beck, who could be the first pick in the draft. when we get to next spring. So I don't necessarily say that he's a he. And also with the thing with Mertz that made him different was he was a proven commodity. You'd already seen him be a starter for 3 years at Wisconsin. So last season came out of nowhere for him. Vandergriff wouldn't count for that because you don't have any expectations for him. He's never really played. Green would be like that for Arkansas. Lenoris Sellers is another guy that's an unknown guy over at South Carolina, so you can't really put him into this discussion.
Just got named starting quarterback.
Yeah, which I think he was already.
It was pretty much understood, yeah. But
Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt is a guy who's done something, so maybe he could be that guy. But he's at Vanderbilt, so I'm not gonna expect that from him. So yeah, I guess Shapen and Green are your guys in this discussion. Peyton Thorne, no. I'm just refuse to buy into that. So it's gonna be one of those two guys. And you know, the guy who does that, his team will have a chance to go to a bowl game. The guy who doesn't, this team is going to struggle. I think it's going to be Shapen. I think Shapen will be the surprise player in the SEC this upcoming season. Hey, speaking of football, let's do a little opponent preview before we go to the break here. I talked earlier today to Brad Denny. He covers the Arizona State Sun Devils for 3TV and CBS5 out there in Phoenix. He's also I asked him about this his podcast is SOTD podcast. Something the Devil. What do you think it is?
And the O?
Yeah. See, it's Speak of the Devils. And I asked
him, of the devil.
Why was it not Shout at the Devils? And
I thought you meant it literally was something blank.
No. It's Speak of the Devils.
I was like, what makes sense here?
No, I see where I got you. But I
Shout
like,
at the Devils.
Shout at the Devils would have been a lot better name, I thought. But anyway, I talked to Brad earlier today about the Sun Devils, and I want to go in with Robbie a little bit because when I sat down to do a little bit of research for this interview, I did not realize what this team was a season ago. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Let's go to that interview now with Brad Denny covering Arizona State. It's always enjoyable to do an opponent preview for an opponent I myself am not overly familiar with, and that is certainly the case today when we're talking about Arizona State. Brad Denny joins us now, covers the Sun Devils for 3TV and CBS5 out there in Phoenix, and is the host of the Speak of the Devils podcast. Did you ever think about going at Shout at the Devils? A little more hard rock.
When we came up with the name like 13 years ago, honestly, it was just I Googled devil phrases and that was the first one. It kind of made sense with the podcast theme, so we rolled with it ever since.
Speak of the Devil is a good Southern phrase. We'll say it every now and then down here in the South. All right, Arizona State, in the state of Mississippi, everything is kind of viewed through the prism of the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State versus Ole Miss. I don't know if that's the same case in Arizona in the Territorial Cup, but when I look at Arizona State and I look at what Arizona was under Jed Fish, the first year, really bad. Second year, they took a nice step forward. Third year, really, really good. Is that the hope of Kenny Dillingham here, that year one was really tough, but in year two, they think they can be better?
As much as it pains Sun Devil fans to think about anything Wildcat related, that's a perfect blueprint, and one I think that the Sun Devils are kind of following in the footsteps of, because the Herm Edwards era left the program relatively like a smoking crater. Obviously, the NCAA sanctions, the roster was in terrible shape, and so really last year for Kenny Dillingham was kind of a year zero, and then you throw in just like pretty much unprecedented injuries along the offensive line and quarterback. Both of those position groups just completely ravaged to the point where they actually had to run like the swinging gate offense in a win against UCLA just because they didn't have enough healthy offensive linemen. Started five different people at quarterback last year. So just everything that could have gone wrong last year kind of did go wrong. So it was definitely kind of added to the year zero feel. But now heading into the second year, they have a nice returning core. They've addressed some of the areas of need and really kind of bolstered the depth in the portal. Heading into the second year. So I think that, you should see kind of that Jed Fish year two kind of step forward. I'm not sure that they're, making any kind of big jumps to contend in the Big 12 as of yet, but you should see a much better football team this year for Kenny Dillingham than in his debut.
This was not a good team offensively or defensively a season ago. They only averaged about 18 points per game. They gave up 32 points per game. Where do you see the bigger improvement this year for the Sun Devils? Will they be better offensively or better defensively?
Oh, starting off on the offensive side, they almost have nowhere to go but up. As mentioned, they went through some pretty ridiculous injury situations on the offensive side. At quarterback, you know, by week two or three, they're already down to their fourth string. They had times where they were starting a tight end and another game at running back at quarterback just because there were so many injuries along there. And then offensive line, they had 11 different starting combinations in 12 games. So really just kind of, there's nowhere to go but up. They have bolstered the offensive line somewhat in terms of the depth. They brought in Sam Leavitt from Michigan State. He just won the quarterback job. He's looked pretty good in fall camp. They have a very deep running back room that I think could potentially be pretty effective if the offensive line performs better. That's some interesting things at wide receiver. Over on the defensive side, they for about two thirds of the season they're actually pretty good, and then just because of the depth issues, they really got the doors blown off of them over the last three, four games of the season. But this is a unit that went up to Seattle to take on the Washington Huskies, didn't allow an offensive touchdown, and so there's a good core there. They've bolstered some of the front six of that group, so I think the defense should be pretty solid as they were for like kind of the first half last year, but the offense has nowhere to go but up. So I think you'll see the biggest improvement there, provided the offensive tackles are somewhat decent, and Sam Leavitt can provide some semblance of a passing game, something that they just simply didn't have last year.
Were you surprised that Leavitt won that quarterback battle, or did you think Jeff Sims had a real shot there?
No, I mean Sam Leavitt. Got here in the spring, and about the last half of spring practices really took command of the job. Kind of that was one of the primary reasons that Jaden Rashada took off and transferred out of the program. It was just pretty clear that he had won the confidence of the coaching staff. Now, of course, with Rashada's departure, they needed to bring in another scholarship arm. Jeff Sims came in, and for about the first three, four practices, it looked like Sims might be able to give Leavitt a run for his money. Both were performed pretty well, but just Leavitt just kind of, after about the fifth practice or so, Leavitt just continued his ascent, and Sims just really was started to, you saw those turnover issues that really has plagued his career from Georgia Tech and then Nebraska. And so it was just a matter of when, not if Kenny was going to make the official announcement. So there might be some situational packages to take advantage of Sims' mobility, but this definitely is the team that Sam Leavitt's won over.
This is a team that returns its top two rushers from a season ago, but its top two receivers from a season ago both enter the transfer portal. We'll see Elijah Badger at Florida a little later this year in Starkville. So who replaces Badger and Jalen Conyers in the passing game? Who will be the top targets for Sam Leavitt?
So starting out at wide receiver, Jordan Tyson, who transferred to the program for last season from Colorado, has the looks as kind of being Sam Leavitt's go-to guy. They really developed a nice rapport and chemistry in spring that's really carried over. Now, a couple of years ago, his first year at Colorado, Tyson was pretty effective. In fact, he had almost 200 total yards receiving in special teams at punt return touchdown against Arizona State. So they got a firsthand look. Last year, he was making his way back from knee injury. He's looks to be full go and really has the potential, I think, to be an effective Big 12 receiver. Switching over to tight end, that's almost a completely different room, actually completely entirely different in terms of the scholarship guys. They brought in Markeeston Douglas from Florida State, Cameron Harpole from San Diego State. Both were pretty solid in spring, but I think the wild card here is Shimon Mateer, who played last year at Cincinnati, had five touchdowns, had a cup of coffee in the spring at Colorado before coming down to Tempe. A little bit of a slow start in fall camp because he was a post-spring addition, but he's really kind of turned it on. He's really kind of wrested control away, and I think he's got probably the highest ceiling of the tight end group. Had a really nice one-handed touchdown catch at a big scrimmage down here. So he's flashed some upper tier ability. Just we'll see if the consistency can be there, because this is an offense under new coordinator Marcus Arroyo that really wants to feature the tight end. So there's some talent there, but we'll see if these guys who kind of collectively haven't really yet done it on the FBS level for a sustained basis are able to find that consistency.
Both of these teams, Mississippi State and Arizona State, are picked towards the bottom of their respective conferences. For Mississippi State, from our perspective over here in Starkville, it really feels like this is a game where if State doesn't win, it's going to be an incredibly long season for the Bulldogs. What is the feeling over there in Tempe about this game? You know, how big would a win would it be, and what does a loss mean if it happens that way?
Yeah, this is kind of the middle part of a pretty daunting non-conference slate for the Sun Devils. It's interesting that a lot of the fan base is really thinking that this should be a team that kind of contends for bowl, and that they need some of these non-conference wins to get there because their Big 12 schedule is pretty brutal. There's five preseason ranked Big 12 teams. ASU's got them all at some point on the schedule, so they're going to need to collect some of these wins. I think that this is a game that's going to be a nice measuring stick because, you know, an SEC team is coming to town. ASU has really kind of touted that they've increased their depth and size and just overall talent level. And so I think, you know, they start off against Wyoming, which is certainly no slouch, but I think this is going to be a real interesting measuring stick for the Devils in terms of, the fan base, the staff and players, just see kind of where they are in this kind of de facto year one of the overall program rebuild. I don't necessarily think that there's too much right in terms of a win or a loss, but I think it's going to be, as I mentioned, a good measuring stick to kind of figure out, all right, where are we stacked up, in terms of this rebuild? They feel the talent level has risen. So this will be a good chance to see if, how much credence there is to that.
The most important question to wrap us up, for the Bulldog fans making the trip out to Tempe, where should they eat?
Oh, absolutely, the Chuck Box. It's a burger place right next to campus. It's cash only, so they're the heads up there. But it's one of those places that's been around for like 60 years. All around campus is brand new development and these amazing new buildings. But then there's this little like log cabin right in the middle of that, tucked away, that has been serving great burgers for decades. When my dad was a student at ASU, I mean, that's his go-to spot. And on game days, there's a big line, but it's worth the wait. It's definitely a Tempe institution.
We'll have to check it out when we head out to the Valley of the Sun. Brad, Denny, thanks so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it. We'll be talking to you again in a couple of weeks when we actually are previewing this game in the regular season. So we'll talk to you in week two, man. Appreciate you.
Of course, yeah. Always great to talk ball. Thank you.
So I knew this team struggled last year, Robbie. I mean, they went 3-9. It was not a great year for them. But what I didn't realize from a statistical standpoint, they averaged 18 points per game, and they gave up 32 points per game. They were one of the worst offenses and one of the worst defenses in the country. So my thought process here is that two things. One, if State can't win this game, bowl eligibility for me is out the window. I can't buy into the idea of State beating Florida and Arkansas and somebody else in the SEC if they can't win this game. This team, I don't care how much improved they are, they should not be able to beat Mississippi State, an SEC team. But two, I may have underestimated the rebuild process for Arizona State. I mean, they have a lot of work to do. And I asked them about the Arizona thing, where year one for Jed Fish, 1-10, and then they were, I think, 5-7 is next year, and then the next year they win 10 games. Can they be on that same kind of path? I think if Arizona State wins 5 games this year, that's a fantastic season for Kenny Dillingham, but I don't believe Mississippi State will be one of those 5 games.
Yeah, and he's still, there's still some things he's having to clean up. They had a guy, I think that he left the team earlier this week or something, and they came out and said it was a defensive back, like first or second team defensive back, and they said he was retiring from football, and his dad comes out on Twitter and says that the coaches were playing games with him, that's why he quit. So it seems that they have they're still trying to clean things up there and do things their way or whatever, and I think they have a couple of defenders that are hurt. And, some issues like that. So,
yeah, so it says Mason Williams is the player's name, has retired from football, according to Dillingham, hasn't practiced since camp. And his dad quote tweets that with didn't retire, got stressed out by the coaches playing games with him.
Yeah. Interesting. Not great. They brought in Jeff Sims. Mm-hmm. He didn't even win the job. I think the guy from Michigan State won the job, Sam Levitt.
I believe that's correct. Yeah, I know so, Sam Levitt is the correct answer. I don't know if he was from Michigan State.
I don't know what this team's going to look like. I don't know if they're going to be improved, if they're still in a
If they're a lot better,
rebuild.
If it's they're a lot better, Robbie, it's because Dillingham's a really good coach. That's what it feels like at this point.
And if they're a lot better, I could still see them. You know,
yeah, it's gonna be tough to win
six wins.
Yeah, if they win six, this game is probably one of them. I think that they can win the other two non-conference games they play, and then in the Big 12, you know, I gotta look at their schedule. But do they play Colorado? Can they play Texas Tech? Maybe win those games. I don't know. I don't know the
answer. They play Texas Tech. They do not play Colorado.
That's tough on them.
You know, Arizona's going to be good.
Yeah.
They got to go. They got to play Arizona. They got UCF, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Utah, ooh, Kansas.
Maybe. So if I were to find five wins for this team, that doesn't include Mississippi. I mean, gosh, Robbie, they play Wyoming too. Wyoming is not a push.
They even are our guy GG Kenny.
Oh,
they got to play Texas State this year.
Okay, Robbie, this it's five wins, and he's done a really good job. This is a tough schedule for Arizona State. So Mississippi State cannot slip up here. They've got to find a way to win that game and keep the early season going in their favor. They lose this game, it's going to be a long, tough year in Starkville. Let's move into the final part of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So if you're not enjoying these false fall temperatures, fire up the grill and throw some steaks on there. It'll feel like a crisp fall evening, but you'll know better. You'll know that it's going to be 98 again very, very soon. But until then, let's enjoy it and let's enjoy some beef. Or if you don't feel like getting out and cooking on the grill, there's so many great places around the state serving beef, serving fine steaks, or some of the great best burgers you'll ever have. I had my favorite burger just yesterday on the way back from Perkinston. Stopped at Ed's Burger Joint, and I had a bacon cheeseburger, and I could not have been happier while I was
yummy.
It was good. Whatever you're doing, if you're cooking or if you want someone else to do it for you, the answer is always beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And you are certainly looking for it. If you are getting ready for football season and you want to tailgate, you don't want to do the cooking, you need to reach out to our friends at Two Brothers. They have got great tailgate packages available, and they'll be happy to do the cooking for you. And then after the game, if you're looking for a place, maybe a little quiet, you want to bring it down a notch. You've been out in the hot sun all day, been ringing that cowbell. You just want a nice quiet dinner, but you want a fancy sandwich. Well, there's only one place to do that, and that's at the Older Brother. Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the Older Brother, two of Starkville's best restaurants right there in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products and great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers and taking care of you. When you need business technology, you need to give them a call. And then if you have a problem, if something goes wrong with that machine they sold you, they can fix it. And they can fix it a lot of times the exact same day because they're in Mississippi just like you are. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Our friends at Marunica reached out to Robbie and I today, and they've got an incredible selection. Are these Mossy Oak hats, Robbie? I see the
yes.
Yeah. Mossy Oak hats with the state script. We've got some M over S, and we've got some of the 85 Mississippi State logo. If you know what I'm talking about from the baseball jerseys, the 85 jerseys. These hats are great. Fantastic looking hats. They've got a whole bunch of new stuff coming in over the next few days. When you come to Maroon & Co. for that first game and you're looking around, you're going to be amazed at all of the new products that they have in stock, all the logos that you want, interlocking included. Don't want to miss out on this stuff. It's all right there at Maroon & Co. Before you go to Davis Wade this fall, make sure you go to Maroon & Co.
And on those two, I mean, we got a look at these hats, and it's different camo patterns. It's not just bottom limbs. It's different stuff. And these look sweet, and it's rope hats, trucker hats. I mean,
we got Bottomland, Greenleaf, Savage, Tree Stand, all these different patterns. They're really cool. You guys are going to like
it's the patterns that everybody loves. So whenever these come in, we'll let you know, and you got to get the Marooning Company and get something. Becky just went there on Tuesday. She had a big event on campus. She was hosting basically like a welcome back students thing, giving out free cookies, stuff like that. And she said, I really need a new Mississippi State shirt. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have to say anything, Brian. She said, I'm going to Maroon & Company. And she went on her own. I was so proud of her.
Did she use the promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off?
She didn't.
Ah!
I was so upset. I was like, why did you not tell me this beforehand? I could get you. She said, I wish I had a promo code. I said, we have one. So don't forget, THUNDER15.
THUNDER15.
When you're going in there, they got you taken care of. But she got a nice shirt. It was not the, you know, the polo shirts, obviously, that you and I get. They have great stuff for women too.
Oh, yeah.
So this isn't just for us guys. Your wife, your kids, your friends, your father-in-law, mother-in-law have gotten plenty of stuff in there for them. You got to go check it out.
Yesterday on Tuesday, Mississippi State or the SEC announced the full conference basketball schedule for the men for this upcoming season. As we've talked about earlier this year, State that they will double dip with Ole Miss, Alabama, and South Carolina. So a little unlucky there to get Alabama, who could be preseason. They will be preseason top five. I think they could be number one, depending on where you look, with Mark Sears back. But this is a cool schedule, Robbie. They start off at home against South Carolina. Kentucky comes in on the 11th. That's the weekend before school starts for the spring semester. I said this yesterday on Sports Talk Mississippi. Maybe if Zach Selman's listening here, I can understand if he doesn't listen to the Sports Talk. Nobody wants to hear Richard. I'm just – Zach, anybody within the sound of my voice at the Mississippi State campus, listen to me. It's just another game. All right?
Don't do a whiteout, please.
We're not whiting out. We're not marooning out. We're not special, commemorative, anything. It's just another game.
And for the love of God, do not put on the Jumbotron with 5 minutes to go. Please don't storm the court.
All right? Here's what you do. You make that announcement before the game.
No, here's the thing. When was the last time MSU fans ran on the court other than Banana Guy?
It's been a while.
It's been, I'm going to say, 2007, 2005.
I don't even remember. Yeah, it's been a while.
It was that year they won the West or whatever. But
yes, just
you have an army of people surrounding the place to make sure nobody runs on the court anyway. Nobody's doing it.
If you have to make the announcement, if the conference dictates, hey, everybody has to make this announcement, do it before the game.
Do it before the game when there's, like, you know, 100 people in the stands.
Yeah.
And just be like, and then you're done.
And we did it. There you go. All right. Ole Miss on January 18th, the first game of that series will be here in Starkville. That is a Saturday game. And then the return match in Oxford is on the 15th of February, also a Saturday. When's the last time we didn't play either one of those games on a weekday? I do not
recall. Ole Miss and Kentucky?
No, I'm talking about Ole Miss. Both games against Ole Miss are on Saturdays.
Wait, the last time they didn't play both games on Saturday?
No. Yeah.
Either game.
When was the last time neither game in the season was a weekday game? It feels like every year at least one of those games is a weekday.
You know, off the top of my head, I don't know. Yeah, maybe
last year both games were on the weekday, so I don't know. That's unusual. Other games of note, and one thing to notice on this schedule is the SEC has left some flex ability, I guess you should say. So some of these games will either be on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, just depending. Their states host Alabama on either the 28th or 29th of January, and then goes to Alabama on either the 25th or 26th of February. They will go to Oklahoma on the 22nd of February, and they will host Texas on the 4th or 5th of March. The season will end on the road at Arkansas. It's the only game against the Hogs. Two of the last three are at home, though, again with LSU and Texas before that final trip to Arkansas. I mean, you don't have to play Auburn twice. That's a preseason top 10 team. You're not playing Kentucky twice. You're not playing Arkansas twice. You're not playing Florida twice. You're not playing Tennessee twice. You do get Alabama, but, I mean, that's just about the best you can hope for. Pretty good schedule for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I think it is. This is going to be a really competitive conference, like more so than usual. It's been really fun to see the conference expand a little bit, not in teams, but the depth of the conference. Because if you remember back a few years ago, State finished like in the top four in the league and they were barely, you know, in consideration for the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Times have changed, man.
Yeah,
I mean, the hiring of these coaches, the people that have been brought into the league has really changed this conference.
Mm-hmm.
For the good. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the depth is just super. And you can win eight games and go to the NCAA tournament at this point. I mean, that's kind of where you are with it. You know, Chris Jans had a losing record in year one in SEC play, and the team was in the NCAA tournament. I think it's going to be super competitive. When you talk about, you know, there was a granted, this list was absolutely embarrassing, but there was a list that had Auburn ninth
in
the league preseason. And that was a god-awful list made by someone who I can say no good things about at this point. But it just kind of shows you the depth of it, that someone at least considers that the last year's SEC tournament champions would be ninth.
Yeah.
Despite returning all American caliber players. Yeah. So it's going to be fun, man. And, you know, State's going to have their work cut out for them, but I like this team a lot. I like this team more than I did last year's team.
Yeah, I agree.
Just the talent, the depth, it's going to be a totally different looking team, but it's going to be fun. This is going to be a really fun season.
The schedule is not complete at this time as far as the non-conference goes. I think that Paul Jones reported still looking to add a couple of games, including a possible game with a Big 12 team. And times still obviously aren't set yet. I'm interested to see, you know, there's the Tupelo game on the 14th. State at Memphis on the 21st of December. I think I will go to that game. That should be a fun one at the FedEx Forum.
Yeah.
I don't know the last time State played Memphis in basketball outside of the NCAA tournament. Played them obviously in 08 when Memphis.
08 probably was it.
I'm trying to think, when's the last time they played them in the regular season?
And they're
and I don't remember.
It's been a long time, man.
A long time. So that'll be cool to play the Tigers.
Did they play them in the NIT one year? Not the most recent one.
Yeah. Yeah, because they lost to them in the NIT.
Did Stansbury – they played them in the championship, I think, that year, I think. But did Stansbury play them in the NIT or –
I don't remember him playing Memphis. He played North Carolina. I don't remember him playing
Maybe
Memphis.
Maybe I'm thinking about Tulsa, that Tulsa game.
Yeah, they lost that game. That was the game where
0-1.
Hit a buzzer beater, but they waved it off.
That was tough.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time State played Memphis. So there you go.
Real quick, I wanted to touch on the women's SEC schedule.
Yeah.
It's coming out as a record in 30 minutes, but I've had a look at it. And interesting enough,
go ahead and put this show up right now.
Yeah. Interesting enough, State only plays one team twice.
Is it Ole Miss?
No, it's not.
Really?
It's Auburn. Yeah.
They play Auburn twice.
They did not play Ole Miss twice.
Is it here
they play
or there?
Ole Miss. They play Ole Miss at home on January 19th. It's kind of
weird.
First five games of the schedule.
Huh.
Very good home schedule. You got South Carolina. Vic Schaefer's coming to town with Texas. Oklahoma, who was the Big 12 champs last year, and Ole Miss are kind of your big home games. And Alabama's a big one, too. They're going to be pretty good this year. So, you know, the home schedule is really nice. Close the year at Auburn. They play Texas in the final regular season game. That should be – I'm interested to see what that is like with Vic Schaefer coming back to Starkville for the first time. But
final game of the season is Texas?
The final regular season home game.
Wow.
Yep.
That's going to be a good atmosphere, I would think.
And I don't know if they're going to – I think they might do senior night the game before because there's going to be so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they want to deal with a senior night thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's going to be on a Sunday. So that should be an interesting game. But, yeah, it's last year they had three teams that they played twice. And this year they only have one. So they've cut out, you know, two of those. So it's kind of interesting. And Auburn
also interesting, that you don't keep Ole Miss and Mississippi State as the two. That's weird.
I don't get it. I heard, you know, I've heard that some people at both schools are not happy about that because, you know, you're trying to recruit in state and you're trying to you want to be able to have that home and home.
Especially if you're Ole Miss, not that I, you know, want to take up for them, but you know, you're only going to go to one game in Starkville, you're not going to get the return. That's
Yeah.
Oh well. Interesting.
Who knows?
Good info there, Robbie. Appreciate that. All right, tomorrow's show, I don't know yet. We'll talk about it when it happens. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out like we do every day.
Every day. All right, guys, have a good one. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.